हरिः ॐ
सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावहितमस्थो मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 17. The BBT purport states, an immature devotee of the Supreme Lord may accept only the deity of the Lord as divine and see everything else as material, even the Lord's confidential servants. Nonetheless, because he recognizes Lord Vishnu's supreme position, such a devotee is better situated than materialistic worshippers of the demigods, and he thus deserves a degree of respect. Right? That answers your question before. Yeah. Association with advanced sages, either directly or by hearing their instructions, is recommended in this verse for one who wishes to advance beyond the lowest stages of devotional life. Right? Because it's association that will, it's by association you go from materialistic life into devotional life. It's by association you go from beginning devotional life into advanced devotional life. Right? A neophyte devotee may be free from the more obvious sins of violence against innocent creatures and against his own body and mind. But until he becomes very advanced on the devotional path, he must always contend with the subtler contaminations of false pride, disrespect towards respectable Vaishnavas, and lack of compassion for suffering creatures. The best remedy for these symptoms of immaturity is to hear from and honor pure devotees, pure Vaishnavas, and to assist them in working to deliver the fallen conditioned souls. So does that make sense? So they may have that nicely regulated, that purity is there. But the point is that is there, but it doesn't become perfect until it's connected with Krishna. So that beginning is there, so they're better situated. But it's as they advance, that's then when it becomes solid. That's why then it's considered, when one's steady, that's considered advanced. Right? So advanced means from nishtha. Right? Does that make sense? So more advanced is than bhava, and more advanced than that is prema. You understand? So on the platform of pure devotion, then you have those aspects. And then you can say neophyte is preliminary to pure devotion. So then when we come to that pure devotional platform, then from there it develops very nicely. So any slowness will be on the neophyte platform. And more slowness on before neophyte platform. As a materialist, yeah.
Right, hearing and chanting is our main process. And then in Bhagavatam itself, it mentioned that Bhagavatam was recited among the sages of Nainisharanya, then between Narada and Vyasadeva, and then Shukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Pariksit. And then apparently those three levels, they're quite different levels of hearing and chanting. So then the question comes, you know, we have Nityam Bhagavatam Seva, it's a general class. So, you know, how far actually can be advanced by that kind of hearing?
Very, very nicely. That's not a problem. Because one is hearing about Krishna, that's why you advance. So hearing from those who have faith in Krishna. So when we hear all these personalities that you mentioned, they all have faith.
Yeah.
Right? So it works on all the three levels. Plus, they're telling stories of other devotees. You know, Krishna and Uddhava, and here then, you know, the devotees of Vrindavan and Dwarka, you know, and Krishna, and now the sages, and, you know, all these things. So all these aspects, then they're all very purifying, very uplifting. So that's not the problem, because it's whether it comes in parampara, it's touched the chit potency, that's then where the dynamic difference is. Because it's not that it's just a pious activity, it's because it's connected to devotional service. That's why it works so nicely. Sukadev Goswami continued, "One who identifies his self as the inert body composed of mucus, bile, and air, who assumes his wife and family are permanently his own, who thinks an earthen image of the land of his birth is worshipable, an earthen image or the land of his birth is worshipable, or who sees the place of pilgrimage as merely the water there, but who never identifies himself with, feels kinship with, worships or even visits those who are wise in spiritual truth, such a person is no better than a cow or an ass." Right? Because there at these places, you have a donkey is also there at the holy place. Yeah. You know, the Vrindavan temple was built with, you know, using donkeys to carry all the bricks and stuff and all the sand. So, but they'll only get that external purification. They don't actually learn about devotional service. You know, they're purified of all sins by being in the dham, but that's because they're committing no offense, right? The donkey, what he's going to do, what offense he's going to make. So it's nice. So we say it's like a cow or an ass. I mean, it's nice, but that, you know, that's all the more you're getting. So when you respect the devotees, that's where then the process starts to become dynamic. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, "When the Supreme Authority, Lord Krishna, was thus speaking with great gravity, all the sages and ascetics remained in dead silence. They were amazed upon hearing him speak the absolute philosophy of life in such a concise way." So that's the wonderfulness of these pastimes, especially the Bhagavatam, because these are conversations where everything is very concise, very exact. You know, Bhagavad Gita also, you're on a battlefield, you can't just sit back and, you know, yak for hours like that. So it's said everything's very exact. So the sages are amazed at this, just how exact it is. You know, so that's the, you know, you could say one of the specialties of one, Vaishnavas in general, but us in specific, is just this exactness that can be there. But it's not that the, expanded explanation's not there. That's why we have more literature than any other sampradaya. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, is we can also speak things generally more concise than everybody. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, the acharyas, of course, do, but I mean just... That's the general principle. "Unless one is very much advanced in knowledge, one thinks his body to be his self, his family members to be his own, and the land of his birth to be worshipable. From this concept of life, the modern technology, modern ideology of nationalism has sprung up. Lord Krishna condemns such ideas, and he also condemned persons who take the trouble to go to holy places of pilgrimage just to take a bath and come back without taking the opportunity to associate with the great devotees and mahatmas living there. Such persons are compared to the foolish animal, the ass. All those who heard considered the speech of Lord Krishna for some time, and they concluded that Lord Krishna was actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, playing the role of an ordinary human being, who is forced to take a certain type of body as a result of the reactions of his past deeds." Right? He's just playing the role of such a person. Because otherwise, how is this person speaking what he's speaking, unless he's the Supreme Lord? So because he's the Supreme Lord, right, the original Guru, therefore then what he says is so exact, so concise. He was assuming this pastime as an ordinary human being, simply to teach the people in general how to live for perfection of the human mission. Right? Showing them, you know, what you're supposed to do, what humans are, how they're supposed to behave. So you have the essential point, that concise aspect. Then you apply that. Right? So, yes, all these things are there, but the point is that you have to be able to see it in connection to Krishna. So when you think the family is mine, instead of that they're devotees who are devotees of Krishna, and then this is, you know, I have this opportunity to associate with them and perform service along with them. then it's different. You aren't trying to get to that. But if you think, then we don't need all this. But then the problem is, he also says the body. So how are you going to get rid of that? Right? So the whole thing is these aren't there. Everything belongs to Krishna. You may be from a particular region that has its particular uniqueness, and that's fine. But the point is that's not us. That's just how we've grown up, but that's the situation we're in, and that works very nicely to function within. But we're not that. And that place is not that. Because now you say it's this state, after some time it's something else. Does that make sense? You know, like before you used to call it Uttar Pradesh. Now you call it Uttarakhand. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing. It just keeps changing. That's the way it is, right? Before, the Navajo said, this is our place, you know? And then after that, the Americans said, no, it's ours. But they had to fight a bit over it with the Mexicans, who said it was theirs. And I think at one time, then the Spanish owned that, so they said it was theirs. So, you know, that's the problem. It's always changing, whatever it is. We'll see that in the 11th canto. Bhumi Devi, she's laughing about that. That all these great, you know, personalities come along with their armies and march back and forth and claim, this is mine, this is mine. And then the next generation is someone else's. 12th canto. Yeah, so you see it all the time. It's like wherever you go, especially like, I mean, America, not as much. We can go back, but they tend to not. But in Europe, it's always, we're going for a program. Where are you going? To the next country. Well, why are you going there? You know, like that. Because that part of the country, they all speak Hungarian. Or they all speak this language. Or they all speak that language. Right? Because you go back, 50 years and that. And it was that. It was part of your country. But you go back before that, and it belonged to someone else. And you go back before that, it all belonged to the Turks. You know, it's like, it just, you know, it doesn't, you know, before that it was the Romans, before it just keeps changing. You know, like that. So.
Right. It seems here that I am always surprised to see that when Krishna was in 5,000 years ago in the earth, not so many people accepted him as God. Like they said, they consider after listening to...
Well, it's not necessarily they don't, they just see how he is. That this is the uniqueness, that he's able to perform these pastimes and at the same time be like this. So they get that understanding. Because they have that full realization, it means you have to be fully devotional. So these persons are known because of their them being great sages. So it doesn't mean that they're necessarily advanced devotees. You know, it's just like as a devotee, you start to see more and more the name as Krishna, or the Bhagavatam as Krishna, the deities as Krishna, Prasad as Krishna. You know what I'm saying? It's just like you go and you serve something on someone's plate, and they'll judge it by whatever is their particular samskar of judgment on, you know, whether it's tasty, or whether it's good for your health, or, you know, whether it fits into some particular political food philosophy you have, or, you know, all these kind of things, rather than this is Krishna. Because I make it, no, if it doesn't fit into my food philosophy, Krishna wouldn't accept this. Right? And so therefore, it's not prasad. In other words, my view makes it prasad or not. You know? That's the whole point, is that the neophyte tends to look at it from his angle, and his angle is the angle. His angle is what makes it work. But that's what's special here, is the sages, just by seeing them, you get benefit, let alone if you render service.
Right? So we can say that they get purification, by seeing Krishna.
Yes.
And they get purification by hearing Krishna.
Yes. It's just, so the point is just they become more and more realized in their areas. Because he's unlimited, so they can go. So it's not showing a fault in the sages.
Yes.
It's a matter of just how much is there. You know, but we have to be inspired. You know, so you have to balance all that.
So to accept Krishna as God means it's a quite elevated position.
Yes, I mean, means we've heard about it, we accept, but what the most like talking here is they're realizing it.
Yes.
So we accept it, and then with practice we start to realize. So here is that they're, you know, by they're starting to realize. So, or realize a new aspect of Krishna, or something like that, because there's so many facets.
Then the neophytes are focused on the secondary, as you're telling me, and then they come to the stage of respecting primary, along with doing the secondary.
Yes.
And when further advances, the Uttam Adhikari is there focused
on the primary, and they use the secondary to express the primary. So at all stages, the primary and secondary are both there. It's just a matter of what you focus on.
But takes them there is association of the stages. Association of advanced devotees.
Yes, association is the catalyst that makes everything move. So that means by hearing directly or by it means by associating directly or by hearing the instructions. So if we take those instructions, contemplate that, then that's that association. That's why then we advance. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, those who reject the devotees and thinking that things of value are elsewhere because of their attachments are unintelligent. He who thinks that the body, a corpse, kunape, composed of vata, pitta, and kapha, tri dhatu ke, is the object of love, atma, who thinks that wife and children are his own, swadihi, images made of earth, bhauma, are worthy of worship, ijadihi, who thinks of the water of rivers as sacred, tirtha buddhihi, but never thinks of the devotees who know the truth about God, abhigyeshu, in a similar way, is just a cow or donkey, gokaraha. Because of their similarity, they are classed as one object. Or gokaraha can mean the donkeys used for the cows carrying their grass and other items. In the Brihaspati Samhita it is said, those men who are knowledgeable of mantras but do not know about Bhagavad Dharma are to be known as gokaraha, even if worshipped by kings. So even they're greatly worshipped by kings, that they're still considered, you know, a cow or an ass, or to put it together, the donkeys who carry the grass, because you go out, cut grass, bring it back on donkeys for the cows.
Yes.
Right? So, yeah. A cow's donkey. So, not even a donkey on its own right. Right? Right, so the material position doesn't matter. We may think it matters a lot, but it actually doesn't matter. It's how much are you advanced in Krishna consciousness. That's the real judgment of the value of something. How much is engaged in Krishna service, or how much potential it has to engage. Like that. You know, how it's connected to Krishna. These are what give something its potential, or its value. Thus, one who sees body as self, family as his own, and also sees the saintly persons as dear, sees the saintly person as dear, is not... I'm not sure here. This seems to be a little mixed. Unless it means, thus, one who does not see the body as self, family as an own, and also sees the saintly person as a deer, is not a donkey. That makes sense, because otherwise, you know, going by the Vedanta Sutra, you have to see it in the context of what's on both sides. Not that, oh, see, this negates all that. No, you have to see it according to...
Maybe someone who is attached to family, but also attached to the bodies. Still attached to family, but also...
Oh, you mean thus one who sees the body as self, family as his own, and also sees, but also sees the saintly persons as dear. So they still have those attachments, but see as dear. He's not a donkey. Okay, so then that's good for us. Puts us in a better light. Okay. But it should be understood that those who think the devotees alone to be the self, or one's own, or worthy of worship, or as sacred, and nothing else, are the best of all. So then one who goes above those bodily conceptions, and just sees the devotees as valuable, then they're the best of the devotees. Right? Does that make sense? So, Therefore, those who follow all these devotional activities but aren't devotional at all, means like the Smartas and, you know, the Hindus like this, then they're pious, but they're still like a donkey, right? You know, a very pious donkey. Because it won't get them out of the material world, right? Why you use the term the donkey? The donkey is because it's foolish enough. It just does the work and it gets a little bit to eat and it thinks everything's fine. When everywhere it walks, there's food. But it waits till the end of the day and gets fed a little bit at the end and feels, okay, I've done my work, and so now I get paid. Right? Like that. So then that's the lowest. Now when you may have that kind of attachment, but you accept the sages. Right? They have that attachment but don't accept the sages. Then they're just seen on the material platform. Maybe the most pious, but on the material platform. When they still may have things, see things materially, but they accept the sages, then we'll say that that's the beginning of devotional service. That's the neophyte devotee. Right? But what makes them advance more is then seeing more the connection of the devotees with themselves, that identity. Then that takes them to the further advancement. Does that make sense? Yes. Because Krishna sees the devotees as the most important. So if we wonder why that, no, it should be Krishna, because Krishna sees them. He may be the supreme subject, but the devotee is the supreme object. So if we're going to serve Krishna, we should also see in the same way.
Always.
Huh?
Always.
Always, yes. Okay? So now it's been reconciled. Yeah, I guess if you said, thus, even one who sees his body as self, family as an own, but also, appreciates the saintly persons as dear, then it's not a donkey. You have to put in a couple of more words there. But it should be understood that those who think the devotees alone to be the self, or one's own, are worthy of worship, or as sacred, and nothing else are the best of all. The words Bauman Ijadihi refers to worshipping forms other than that of the Lord. Right, so it means that you have the deity forms of demigods or whoever else happens to be your Kula Devata, or in South you always see those 50-foot tall actors, cutouts. Rajinikant, yeah. So it means that. You're still an ass. In the 11th canto, it is said, he who worships with faith the form of the Lord, but not the devotee of the Lord, is considered a Kanista devotee. Not a donkey, a Kanista devotee. Right? So they're better than the donkeys. But still, it can handle some improvement. There's room for improvement, yes. Though he does not consider the devotees worthy of worship, he is still a devotee, and therefore not condemned as a Gokaraha. So that distinction has been made. Seeing water as holy refers to waters other than genuine sacred rivers, such as that of the Ganga and Jamuna. Right? Because those, just by seeing, you get purified, because the Lord's pastimes are like that. There are many other such statements in the scriptures to support this meaning. So many other things are there, but he's just bringing it to that you know exactly where it is, so we don't think that we're a cow and ass. But the point is that we can still develop. We're not a cow and ass because we accept the advanced Vaishnava. So the more we accept that, the more we surrender to that, then the more we advance. That's the principle you were asking before. That's the one that makes all the other ones work. You know, and we can say, but let's look at it from a different angle, the 26 qualities of a devotee. So then the Sarup Lakshana is that surrender to the Lord. And then all these other nice qualities are there. So then that would seem to contradict. But the point is what does Krishna say about someone who says he's his devotee? Is he the devotee? No, it's the one who says, I'm the devotee of the devotee. So surrender to Krishna means surrender to the devotee. So there's no contradiction. It's the same point. Sukadeva Goswami said, hearing such unfathomable words from the unlimitedly wise Lord Krishna. The learned Brahmins remain silent, their minds bewildered. For some time, the sages, so it's not bewildered that they didn't understand, they're just so bewildered by how wonderful and exact it is. These are sages. They contemplate this stuff all day. How exactly Krishna says it, that's what's so wonderful. Yeah? For some time, the sages pondered the Supreme Lord's behavior, which resembled that of a subordinate living being. They concluded that he was acting this way to instruct the people in general. Right? Because he doesn't need to, so why would he do it? To instruct the people in general. Thus they smiled and spoke to him, the spiritual master of the universe. Verses 16 to 26, the sages speak. The great sages said, "Your power of illusion has totally bewildered us. The most exalted knowers of the truth and leaders among the universal creators," right? So they can say this because these are all the sages that are accepted throughout the universe. "Ah, how amazing is the behavior of the Supreme Lord. He covers himself with his human-like activities and pretends to be subject to superior control." Indeed, the human-like pastimes of the Almighty are simply a pretense. Effortlessly, he alone sends forth from his self this variegated creation, maintains it, and then swallows it up again, all without being entangled, just as the element earth takes on many names and forms in its various transformations. So, just that means he's a creating, maintaining, destroying everything, and with no effort. So how much, so there's, you know, how much effort is there in just performing his duties as a king? You know, as a human being, right? Nothing. It's effortless for him. Yeah. Well, for us to do those duties, how much effort is there? Right? I think the Sanskrit definition is called pavarga. Right? Like that, you know. So, yeah, but for him, there is no pavarga. Yeah. So, yeah, and then he gives the example of him down to this, and then also, just we can even see that just in the earth and all these other things. There's no effort from here, right? For the earth to be turned into a pot, no effort. Right? Does that make sense? To go back, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. So that's that principle of Satkaryavad, is that the cause is in the effect. Right? And then even that extends that even the cause is in the effect of the effect. You know, from what it was caused from. So that just keeps on.
Do we have any example in the scripture of Krishna manifesting his pastime not in a human form?
Varaha? I mean, unless, of course, from where you're from, the boars are sacred.
No.
Okay. Yes, so all these different species, Hayagriva, Nisringa, you know, Vishnu, he's not performing human pastimes, he's performing God pastimes. Like Krishna walks in or rides on his chariot. When Indra's doing his yajna, how does Krishna come? He flies in on Garuda, you know, with all eight arms and all the weapons, and then does all the different interactions. And so, like that, it's a matter of how he does. Or Gajendra, then that's Vishnu pastimes. So pastimes is God, not as human. So basically you can say is Goloka pastimes, those are human pastimes. But Vaikuntha pastimes are not. I guess there's no mangas there. They would have said, no, back up a little bit. And picked off the BBT purport states, Srila Sridhar Swami suggested this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam answers a possible objection on the part of Lord Krishna. How could I create, maintain, and destroy the universe if I am Vasudeva's son? The answer is given by the words Aho vibhumanas charitam vidham banam. You are the perfectly complete whole, and your birth and pastimes are only an imitation of ordinary persons. Activities in the material world, you simply pretend to be under higher control. Oh, they were just getting out of the way for the truck. Oh, they're going that way. Okay, now it makes sense. You simply pretend to be under higher control. It's fun. That's all. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that in the next three verses, the sages explain that the Lord put on this pretense in order to protect the devotees, destroy the demons, and establish Dharma. The sages continue. Nonetheless, at suitable times, you assume the pure mode of goodness to protect your devotees and punish the wicked. Thus, you, the soul of the Varnashram social order, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, maintain the eternal path of the Vedas by enjoying your pleasure pastimes. So he's the soul of Varnashram. So we don't like Varnashram, then, because he's the soul of it. So in other words, Varnashram being performed in connection with Krishna, Daiva Varnashram, that's Varnashram. Otherwise, it's just an external shell, just like the others who don't understand. The donkeys.
Yes. So the demons, they follow the Varnashram, but they are not Brahmicas.
It's not for understanding the Supreme, it's just for getting the material, because Varnashram maintains you.
Yes.
So they do it just for the maintenance they'll get from it.
Yes.
But they're not doing it in connection with trying to understand the Supreme. That's what humans are supposed to do.
Yes.
But the demons are doing, we're not complaining.
Yes.
We're not calling the demons asses. Right? Like that. Does that make sense? But we're calling those who are following, humans who are following the Varnashram system and not understanding the connection to Krishna, which is the purpose of human life, we're calling them Gokara. Does that make sense? So that's the principle. So in other words, devotional service is what you're supposed to do. Yeah, so the eternal path of the Vedas is for serving Krishna. So we don't have any problem in following the path of the Vedas as given to us by our acharyas. We generally don't go outside of that, but what they've given us, that we do. We don't have a problem. The Vedas are your spotless heart, and through them one can perceive, by means of austerity, study, and self-control, the manifest, the unmanifest, and the pure existence transcendental to both. Therefore, O Supreme Brahman, you honor the members of the Brahminical community, for they are the perfect agents by which one can realize you through the evidence of the Vedas. Right? So that's why the Brahmins are important, not because of the rituals, but because of being able to understand the Lord. And how you're going to do that? Through the Vedas. So they, practicing the tenets of the Vedas, instruct how to appreciate Krishna, then that's the perfection. So you may have Brahmins who are only following the Veda, or you may have just some Brahmins going to IIT. But the point is in any case, then it's a matter of, that's what Brahminical life is for. That's what it's for. And that's why it's the head of the society. Right? And then when you take into talking about the secondary aspects, then the Kshatriyas are head of society. Because they see that all the secondary is in order, that everybody has their quota, working within their quota and performing their duties properly.
Yeah.
Right? Does that make sense? Then to do that, that's the duties, then you need the money. So that's what then the economic community gets. And then to get that, you need the general populace to be able to, produce the money and to see that everything goes on. Does that make sense? Okay, you honor the members of the Brahminical community, for they are the perfect agents for which one can realize you through the evidence of the Vedas. For that reason, you are the foremost worshipper of the Brahmanas. Today, our birth, education, austerity, and vision have all become perfect because we have been able to associate with you, the goal of all saintly persons. Indeed, you yourself are the ultimate supreme blessing. Let us offer obeisances unto that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, the infinitely intelligent Supersoul, who has disguised his greatness through his mystic Yoga Maya. So that's also another point of their bewilderment, is that by Yoga Maya he's covering himself, so they're bewildered at what's going on and how does that... So by symptoms and that surrender to the Lord, they're able to see beyond that the Lord is doing that through his Yoga Maya and taking up these ordinary pastimes. It means pastimes, ordinary person, for the purpose of instructing the general person. Does that make sense? Neither these kings nor even the Vrishnis who enjoy your intimate association know you as the soul of all existence, the force of time and the supreme controller. For them, you are covered by the curtain of Maya. Right? Because in that way, they don't see. And then when they come across something that removes this curtain, then they take that on and see him in that capacity. But then they lose that identity of that associate. They just see themselves in servitorship. Like a Vaikuntha devotee. Then when Yoga Maya again covers, then they go back into that. That makes sense. Yeah. So the sages are pointing that out. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments: the Vrishnis do not know you, who are the object of the intense affection, as the Lord, having sat on the same seat or bed with you. And the kings do not know you, who destroys them as time, as the Lord. Right? So all these kings that are there, because also you have kings that are not, who are inimical. So those kings, then they don't even know that Krishna is time, who's destroying them. You know, they're getting old, all the things that fall apart, they're having to work so hard to try to maintain it, and eventually they'll die. That's all Krishna. Why? Because you are covered by the screen of Maya, a covering of their knowledge. It should be concluded, however, that it is ignorance which covers the kings and Yoga Maya which covers the Vrishnas. Right? So that's the difference. They're covered by Yoga Maya, because otherwise they see, but to deepen the relationship, they don't see. But for the others, they just plain don't see. The sages continued. A sleeping person imagines an alternative reality for himself, and seeing himself as having various names and forms, forgets his waking identity, which is distinct from the dream. Similarly, the senses of one whose consciousness is bewildered by illusion, receiving only the names and forms of material objects. Oh, no, that's it. Okay. Similarly, the senses of one whose consciousness is bewildered by illusion, receive only the names and forms of material objects. That's all they're perceiving. They're not even perceiving what's behind that and then taking it back analytically. And even if they don't, they just take it back to Pradhan, and it's still a material object. So then that's, you know, that covers anybody but those who are realized in Krishna consciousness. Thus, a person loses his memory and cannot know you. Today we have directly seen your feet, the source of the holy Ganges, which washes away volumes of sins. Perfected yogis can at best meditate upon your feet within their hearts. But only those who render you wholehearted devotional service and in this way vanquish the soul's covering, the material mind, attain you as their final destination. Therefore, kindly show mercy to us, your devotees. Right? So that's as devotees are contemplating. And it's just seeing that, you know, just how Krishna's dealing, because they're sages, so they have the knowledge, but at the same time he's acting there, so they understand it's by Yoga Maya he's acting this way, and he's acting this way to teach the people in general. Right? So that was the bewilderment. So it's also yoga maya. It's not mahamaya. Yeah. Yes. That's why they're the big sages in the universe. These are all the big names.
Conditions where we are covered by ignorance, and we are cultivating knowledge of Lord, and then eventually the relationship with the Lord will become more common. So at what point in the devotional process that is given more focus?
Given more focus. Bhava. So you don't have to worry about it at this point. Unless you're asking this question just to bring it out and to give instruction to all the conditioned souls. Then. But it's even in the advanced stages of bhava where it becomes. Because maybe you know who you are and this and that, but until that is seen in connection with Krishna exclusively, and through the mercy of associating with the advanced devotees, then only have. So again, it's just devotees. Right? So the devotees show us what the proper mood is for engaging in all these activities. So it's not that they teach us the technical activities, that they teach us the mood in which these technical activities are done. That's the most important thing to gain. It's technical knowledge you can get, you know, from so many places. But to know how to use that connected to Krishna, now that's the special. Does that make sense? No. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, "The sages conclude, today we have seen the feet of you who are rarely realized. Today our lives have become successful since those feet are the highest sadhana, method of attainment, and sadhya, attainment." This is explained by two descriptive phrases, right? So they're the method of attainment and they are what you attain. So by meditating on the lotus feet of the Lord, you can attain the lotus feet of the Lord. Right? So just like by chanting Hare Krishna, you can attain, be absorbed in, you know, chanting the Lord's name. Your feet are the origin of the holy Ganga, which destroys a host of sins, which make persons inimical which make persons inimical to your bhakti. Right? So then by meditating on Krishna, then all the sins that make us not interested in bhakti become, you know, that then we get that benefit, right? So the whole important part, what's the point of removing sins? Why do we want to remove sins?
So that we can remember Krishna.
So we can remember Krishna. We just want to remove sins so that we get less material trouble. That's not the point. That's what the Gokarnas are doing. Right? In other words, devotees, they're doing because then that it's the sin that blocks you from thinking of Krishna. And why? It's not that the sin has a power over devotional service. It just means you're attracted to the sin. So by becoming purified, you're no longer attracted. Therefore, now you're attracted to Krishna. But how you'll be attracted to Krishna? It's the association of the Vaishnavas. Does that make sense? So it's not just, okay, you see the Lord, but it's by associating. Just like that fisherman. Right? He touched Lord Chaitanya when he was pulling in his net. He developed love for God. Right? He's manifesting all these symptoms. But has he had the association of devotees? So he knows, he doesn't know what it is or how to express it. So now by associating with the devotees, now he'll learn that and then he'll be on that one topmost platform. But it's simply by devotees you learn how to express. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that Lord, or we complain that how could that be love of God? How could that, you know, like that? He's just acting crazy and he doesn't know what it is. But Lord Chaitanya had the same effect. From a spiritual master, then he got the holy name. He went and chanted it and it made him crazy. Then he went back to his spiritual master, what's going on? Then his spiritual master explained. Then he could appreciate the position he was in. You understand? So by the association of devotees, that's how it works. Does that make sense? Yeah? No? Very good? Okay. The most mature yogis and atmaramas place those feet in their heart. Why is the realization of the atmarama disrespected and bhakti praised? Bhakti destroys the material mind, right? While atmarama doesn't. You're still stuck with your material mind because you're seeing Brahman and all that separate from Krishna as a person. So even though it may be, you know, extremely elevated position, it still is disrespected compared to bhakti. Right? Amongst materialists, they're going to be the top, but amongst transcendentalists, they're going to be the bottom. And amongst, you know, and they don't really even count because they're outside the realm of bhakti. So another version has apahrita instead of apahata, but the meaning is the same. Those who have destroyed the coverings on the jiva by intense bhakti attain you, making them devotees. Be merciful to them so they can continuously see you. So then this is just that blessing. So those who are always engaged in associating by Krishna's grace that they all may become nice devotees. Verses 27-71. The sages reply to Vasudeva's question and perform sacrifice in order to please him. Sukadeva Goswami said, having thus spoken, O wise king, the sages then took leave of Lord Dasharatha, Dasa, Dhritarashtra, and Yudhishthira, and prepared to depart for their ashramas. Seeing that they were about to leave, the renowned Vasudeva approached the sages. After bowing down to them and touching their feet, he spoke to them with carefully chosen words. Srila Jiva Goswami comments. Knowing the intentions of the sages to leave, Tat Vikshya, Vasudeva, famous because he was the father of the Lord, went to them. Following human pastimes like the Lord, he offered respects and spoke with the greatest courtesy. Suyantri Taha. Right? So the etiquette is there. It's not that he's an associate and they're sages, and so then he doesn't have to respect. It doesn't work like that. The more advanced you go, the less you deal in that way. We have to understand it's just like this. If someone is not doing so well materially, is he very proud? Right? Generally not. As he becomes more materially successful and prosperous, he becomes more and more proud of his position and looks down more and more on others. Right? So if that's how the material world works, the spiritual world being the opposite, then what is the position? The higher up you go, the more humble they are. So everyone in the spiritual world is humble. It's just humble, more humble, most humble. Sango went that way and that went back. I guess they don't want it.
It's the highway now.
Huh?
It's the highway, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it is. But that whole area over there, I think, is going to become Goshala. So. But in the future, the main road for going in will be on that side. So all these trucks will come in that way. And this will be more for people walking. So less tractors, more screaming people.
We need the soundproof.
Yes.
You know, like a highway?
Yeah. We need one of those right there. Yeah. That's a good point.
So now sometimes when we join ISKCON, it's very easy to be humble. Everybody is a Prabhu.
Yeah.
But after sometimes, it can be less easy.
Because everybody's not a Prabhu?
But it's in
I'm more Prabhu than you're Prabhu.
It can be, yes. You're just supposed to be.
There was one devotee in Australia. I think there was one in America also. His name was Prabhu Das. So when people would come up to talk to him, they'd go, Prabhu, Prabhu. Can you do this? So he's more Prabhu.
Like I know when they were in France, he just received initiation and he had email. His name is Such Prabhu.
Yeah.
I told him, no, he has a task for you.
Yeah. Das.
Yes. But how can we develop the idea?
That humility. Just to understand things as they are, properly. This means we see Krishna as special and the devotees as special, that makes us less special. It's our being able by their grace to take part in these pastimes. Because our taking part means we're taking part in the secondary aspects. That's the part you can see.
Yes.
And then from that, then we can experience these higher stages of affection for the Lord. Does that make sense? So we should never be proud because it's the affection that makes them superior.
Yes.
Not the technique.
Yes.
Not that they're also not better at the technique, but the point is it's not the technique that makes them better.
Yes.
It's that love is better. And so we don't have that love. We'll never have that love.
Yes.
We'll have love, but we won't have that to the degree they have. But we can follow in the footsteps, and therefore we can experience what they do. But it's because of their interaction, and because we're connected to them through service, that we experience. But we're not generating that experience. You understand? Braja Bhakti, the taste of that, is generated by Srimati Radharani. The exchange between her and Krishna, that generates that taste. All others connect themselves to the service of Radharani, therefore then they can taste it. And we connect ourselves to those who are connected to those who are like that. Okay. He spoke with the greatest courtesy in order to give bliss to Krishna and the people by crediting to the Lord his proper fame. Right, so very carefully, because he's speaking with the sages, you have to speak properly. And that then also, in that, to give happiness to Krishna, because he wants to see the sages dealt with nicely and respected. And that you bring out things in connection to him and show everything, you know, by for the people in general. Because Krishna's coming in this capacity to teach the people in general. So now if you're going to deal, you also do that. Does that make sense? So that's all then, all these things then are considered. And because of that, then it becomes so wonderful. Sri Vyasadeva said, obeisances to you, the residents of all the demigods. Please hear me, O sages. Kindly tell us how the reactions of one's work can be counteracted by further work. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains, I offer respects to you, the form of all the devatas. This is shown in Shruti, which says, all the devatas reside in the Brahmana who knows the Vedas. Right? Because how are they... How do we know the Vedas? By the Brahmins who know the Vedas. And so in the Vedas, it may talk about the demigods and things connected to the demigods, but our only connection with that is through the Brahmana. So that means by coming to the Brahmana, that includes all the demigods. And then especially for that Brahmana as a devotee, then even more, because now you see the demigods in the proper light as servants of Krishna and ourselves as servants of Krishna. Then it becomes even more respected. Okay? Please describe how... Does that make sense? So in other words, a Brahmana and then a Vaishnava. So, yeah. Please describe how I can destroy the bondage of karma by action, because being greatly attached to house, children, and wives, I'm not qualified for jnana or bhakti.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the point is, as he's saying, he's being attached to, you know, the house, the children, the wife, the whole grihastha scene. So then he won't be able to destroy the sins by the process of jnana. Right? Because that's detachment. Because bhakti is counted within the path of renunciation. Like I mentioned for the Kumbh Mela, then you have there's so many, there's millions of people there, so they have times when different groups of people come to bathe, right? And so depending upon what group you're in, you go at that time. So then the question came up, what group were we? And then one of the elder, you know, Hindu sadhus, then he said the Vaishnavas are tyagis, because they renounce the world. They may be working with it, but it's done in a renounced mood. So then they said they should come down with us. Like that. Because these were all the guys just, you know, they got the hair and the beard, and maybe they're wearing, yeah, no, these guys are wearing kopas. The guys that aren't wearing are on the other side of the river. Yeah, they a little bit more, less accommodating. Yeah, so that's the whole thing. So he says, I'm not qualified for jnana or bhakti, because bhakti has that aspect of nice karmia. It's not just jnana, there's activity, but you still have to be detached in the performance of it. So pure devotional service means without a tinge of karma and jnana. So he's not, you know, he's attached to the karma, you know, by what he's saying. He can't do the gyan, and then bhakti means giving up the karma and the gyan. So then he's, you know, even though we see he's a great devotee, but they're going to see according to, you know, just human pastimes. That's the whole point. Sri Narad Muni said, O Brahmanas, it is not so amazing that in his eagerness to know, Vasudeva asks us about his ultimate benefit. He considers Krishna a mere boy, right? Because they'll go, what do you mean? So he's pointing out, no, but because what they said before, that Yoga Maya has covered them, so they just see Krishna. So in here, the Vrishnis may see him as a, you know, a great personality and as a king and this and that, but Vasudeva just sees him as a boy. So the others may understand what they said and apply it, because, you know, being looking at Krishna from that adult platform. But he's going to be looking at just as a boy. So then for him, he's naturally not going to be using these processes. The BBT purport states, Srila Jiva Goswami relates Narada's thoughts. Sri Narada understood how Vasudeva, in the line with his mood of pretending to be an ordinary householder, asked the sages about karma yoga. Although he had already attained spiritual goals, even great rishis and yogis cannot achieve. But Narada was still concerned that Vasudeva might create an awkward mood by treating Lord Krishna as a mere child in the presence of all the sages. Right? And so then the sages, now, they're having enough, you know, here's the Supreme Lord, who they are worshipping. And then he's coming and acting as a Kshatriya, let alone as a kid. You know, just a mere boy. So, just to avoid that, because Narad Muni can appreciate these things. The others, they may or may not be able to go. You know, that like that verse. This one knows, this one, you know. Okay, so who knows, who doesn't know, and who may or may not?
Lord Shiva knows, Sukhdev Goswami knows, but whether Vyas knows or doesn't know.
Okay, Vyas may or may not know. Yeah, so like that, it's one of those, maybe they know, maybe they don't, so. So then to avoid that, then he will come forward and speak. So that it puts it in the context of all the sages and see, and then they can appreciate. Okay. Narada and other sages felt obliged to maintain their attitude of reverence towards Krishna, right? Because that was his point. So how could they ignore him and presume to answer Vasudeva themselves? To avoid this embarrassment, Narada took this opportunity to remind everyone present of Sri Krishna's absolute supremacy. Mm-hmm. Right? So that they wouldn't, so then they put it back to Krishna, and then we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Govinda.